scripture for this morning is taken from Acts 2, 42 through 47. This is the general scripture that we're using for this five-week study. Listen this morning for God's word to you. Bill normally reads it, and someone else could have done this, but I didn't think to send it out and ask anyone, so I apologize if anyone would have liked to have done it. And if you would like to read, maybe after service today, that you can tell me, and I'll have that in my mind to ask someone at a different time. Acts 2, 42 through 47. Listen for God's word to you. As they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I do believe that God blesses the reading and the hearing of His holy word. We're going to try this microphone today, and y'all can let me know how it works. Well, welcome to week three of the 30-day church challenge. We want a transformation in our thinking about the church, not just viewing it as a place to come to, but realizing that it is a vibrant family to belong to. We want to become the church a community of faith, powerful, inspirational, and transformational, touching our community with the power of the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that people's lives can be changed, they can be transformed. So we have a vision for this series, and even after that, that we can change our lives for the better, and we can help people in our community change their lives for the better. Our challenge for this week has to do with the third purpose of this series and out of Acts, spiritual growth. In Acts 2, the first church was committed to authentic community. Verse 44 says that they had everything in common. The first church knew how to worship. Verse 47 says they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. But they had another important habit they adopted in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. But why did they do that? Because they wanted to grow. Chances are that when you were little, your parents had a special place. It might have been in a closet door or a door frame. And every so often you would go stand by that door, and they'd take a pencil and they'd mark your head and write your name or your initials beside it. Did in my house, and I could watch the progression as I aged, as I got taller. My sister, my other brothers, same way. Some of you and some of us, we watched and enjoyed seeing ourselves grow, and we got a kick if we actually grew taller than our mother, and maybe then our father. Some of us did, some of us did not. But all of us want to grow. We get excited when we see growth. Growth is such a part of us as human beings. The Bible even measures our spiritual growth. The Apostle John in 1 John says that spiritual children are those who have received Jesus Christ. Their sins have been forgiven, and they know God. Spiritual young men are strong because they are reading God's word. They are involved in the cause of Christ, advancing His kingdom, and thereby have overcome the evil one. Spiritual fathers, and we could say mothers too, are those who have a relationship with the Lord deep enough to know God's character personally. In other words, they've been with the Lord long enough, they've established a real personal relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's how God measures spiritual growth, from coming to Christ to growing and serving to know God like He's a best friend with you. Life is about growth, and spiritual life is about spiritual growth. Have you ever noticed that the minute we stop growing, it seems that we start growing outward? And we kind of fight that growth for the rest of our lives? Colossians 2:6 says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And it's a tree analogy, really, here. Trees grow until the day that they die. And humans do also. Only some of us die on the inside before we show signs of dying on the outside. How can we tell if someone is really dying on the inside? There's a lot of ways, but there's three ways we can look at it. They stop learning, they stop maturing, and they stop caring. You can tell when a person has stopped learning because they never share anything new that they've read, they've learned from a seminar, or gleaned from a sermon, or podcast, or a small group conversation. You can tell when a person has stopped maturing because their character hasn't changed. They aren't becoming more thoughtful or more patient. They don't do anything more helpful around the house or the neighborhood or the community or the church than they did a few years ago. They have not grown. They're just stagnant. You can tell when a person has stopped caring because, well, they don't care. They don't care any more deeply today about whether or not a child is starving around the world, or whether or not people are coming to church or not, or whether the neighbor next door they know is not a Christian and is not going to have the promise of eternal life. They don't really care. It's not my problem. These types of people are growth stunted, and it can happen to any of us. It can happen to all of us. But life is about growing. Birds grow. I watched my little Xenon grow from a little puppy to a giant 115-pound Doberman. Plants grow. Trees grow. Viruses also grow. Germs grow. Microbes grow. Fungi grow. Everything that's living is growing. Good and bad both grow together. Now, over the past few years, most of us have learned that we have to grow in our job just to stay where we are, because those who aren't growing in their job skills and can't help their company may not have a job, because technology is changing so rapidly, it's hard to keep up. Even computer application you own, whether it's a Mac or a PC, gets updated every few months or few years. My iPhone, they just went to, you see it on TV or in computers, iOS 7. Well, I was excited about it coming out, and then it came out, and it's like, well, how do I work this thing now? I had to start relearning part of it. I mean, once you learn it, it's really nice, but having to go through that learning process all over again, it's kind of like, part of me just wants, stop changing things, just let's get somewhere and let's stop, that's enough. But that's not the real world, and that's not how it's going to happen. Some of you are struggling with Facebook, like I am, or apps that come on your phone or your computer. You're trying to keep up, and it's hard. But life is about growing, and you're either growing forward or you're becoming outgrown. And you and I ought to be getting better until the day that we die. Romans 12:1, where Paul says, "Based on all the incredible things God has done for you, present your bodies, which is your whole selves, everything that you are, to Him as a living sacrifice." That's your true and proper worship. Then in the next verse, he says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Your mind. Life is about growing, and growing is about transformation. It's about moving from something we're not to something that we should be, something that God has called us to be through the Word of God and through a relationship with Jesus Christ and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that empowers us, encourages us, and guides us. So what is it we should be when we're all grown up? Well, herein lies a little bit of the problem. None of us are ever all grown up. I don't care who you are. But Paul says in Romans 8:2-9 that we're supposed to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Conformed. In Romans 12, he says we're supposed to be transformed. To be transformed is to have our form changed. Trans means changed. Anybody ever seen the Transformer movie? You know those things just change all of a sudden. In a car, and then they become these giant robots. To be conformed is to have our form changed with another. Con means with. So the goal of our growth is to be changed to or conformed to the shape or the image of God's Son, to think and to act like Jesus Christ would think and act and behave. So what was Jesus like? He was a man on a mission. He thought like the one sent from God. He acted like the servant of all. He was kind and compassionate and loving and did what he could for other people. And that's what we're supposed to be growing towards. When you grow as a football player, you learn to run better, tackle better, read defenses better. When you grow as a Christian, you learn to believe better, hope better, love better. As you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, you believe less of what Oprah says and more of what the Word of God says. You become less of a taker and more of a giver. Your life becomes less about you and more about others. And none of this happens overnight. It's a process. It's an ongoing process. This is why Paul says be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not renewed. You don't get renewed just once and it's done. It doesn't happen that way. Not one time, but all the time, you're renewing your mind. What you see, read, hear, and talk about be transformed by the ongoing renewal of what you put into yourself. You and I need to be renewed and renewed and renewed and renewed. Renewal is a process that happens one step at a time, and the more steps you take, the more progress you make towards spiritual growth. Your goal is to step up to spiritual growth by committing to taking one spiritual step at a time, and it all starts by renewing your mind. Throughout Christian history, Christians have discovered that holding certain practices, especially repeatedly over time, can help lead to spiritual transformation. Coming to church every week helps reset your mental and spiritual clock by reminding you of what's really important. Then if for some reason you cannot come to church every week, Cliff is putting our sermons on the internet, on our web. You can go there and you can listen and be a part of the service and stay connected to this body of Christ so that you're not missing out. The second most fundamental step is daily Bible reading. The Bible contains truth. It's not like Sports Illustrated. It's not like Cosmopolitan, which contains some truth and then distortions of truth. Everything it says about God is true. There's no lies there about God. Everything it says about life is true. Everything it says about you is true. So when you read the Bible, it helps you think more accurately, see the world more precisely, and understand God more clearly. And the more accurate, precise, and clear your thinking is, the more mature you're going to start becoming. There's so many steps to take as you mature. And prayer and renew your mind. So does being in a small group. That's why I'm really pushing them. Sharing your faith forces your mind to be renewed because you have to be clear on what's true in order to share it with others. How can you share Christ with others if you don't know what you believe about Christ? Your challenge this week is to grow. Your 30-day challenge book, and I still have one left if anyone wants it. It's at home, but I'll get it to you. Gives you simple steps to take each day. But the major weekly challenge that I want everyone to take on, whether you're in the small group and have the book or not, is to start committing, spending time with God every single day for the next 21 days. Because 21 days is how long they say it takes to establish a good habit. Bad habits come quicker, but good habits have to work on just a little bit harder. So spend your time reading the Bible and spend your time in prayer. Now, some of you, if you're not reading your Bible at all, what I'm asking you to do is pick up your Bible, whether it's in the morning, whether it's at your lunch break, whether it's at night before you go to bed. Take 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That's some TV commercials are almost that long nowadays. 5 minutes and read your Bible, and then take 2 minutes for prayer. That's not much. If you're already in the habit of reading your Bible, double it to 10 minutes and double your prayer time to about 4. And as you're going through the Bible and you're looking at it, if you see a passage of Scripture that catches your imagination, stop and look at that passage, reread it, and then pray about it. What is this passage saying to me? What is God trying to speak to me today? Or pray about, God, how can I be more like that passage of Scripture? How can you help me transform into that which you're trying to speak to me through the Word of God? You know, a mature tree produces fruit that will produce another tree. Jesus calls it bearing fruit, and he says we can only bear fruit if we remain in him. This means if we spend time with him by reading what he's written to us, the Bible, listening to him and talking with him through prayer, then God gets the glory for the fruit we bear and the fruit that we help other people begin to bear. Jesus is the ultimate fruit bearer. Each one of us and all the other 2 million followers of his on this planet today need to bear fruit, good fruit. Fruit that came from following him and inviting someone else to follow him, and then they invite someone else to follow him, and then the church grows and grows and grows in numbers, and then as they come into the church, then they can start learning to grow in faith and spiritual maturity. Picture in your mind for a moment. You're terribly out of shape, like I am, except for walking a couple of miles a day. I used to lift weights all the time. Every day, 7 days a week. Sometimes just 6, I'd take a day off. Now, if I went back to lifting weights tomorrow, and I tried to do the workouts that I used to do, Tuesday, I probably wouldn't be able to get out of bed and go lift anymore. I'd be so hurt and so sore. So if I go back to lifting weights, what I'll have to do is start out easy and build up to it. And it's the same way in our spiritual life. If you're here, you got to start slow and start building up. So if you pick up your Bible the first day and you try to read for 2 hours, well, maybe the next day you're not going to want to read any because it overwhelms you. So baby steps. So you get physically, mentally, spiritually fit in the Word of God. And reimagine yourself as a spiritual giant, someone that is trustworthy, someone that is others-centered, where people will admire you for your character because they know that you are telling the truth, that you're someone who is patient with other people, that you're self-controlled, and you actually enjoy growing and being around other people. You can become that person. To get there, take one step at a time. To be that way, you'll need to think that way, which is why Paul says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So combine that with the challenges we're talking about during these 30 days, and you'll be on your way to rippling spiritual biceps and six-pack spiritual abs. So if you're not already in a small group, you can join the one on Sunday morning or my house. You can come right now. You can come at the last one. Just come. And then we'll start some others. I'm hoping that we can get some others in other people's homes that will just want to lead one. You don't have to be a teacher. You just come in, fellowship, and talk over a book, whatever. If you're interested, you can talk to me, and I'll be glad to help you. Or you can just come to my house or the one on Sunday morning. May God bless you. Amen. Communion hymn is 274, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Verses 1 and 2. Bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this very special time in the life of the church as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his body, his blood, that brings about our salvation, but also remembering at the same time his resurrection and his ascension into heaven and sending back the Holy Spirit that completes. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your giving to us, bringing us out of a life of sin, renewing us, transforming us, helping us to be the men and women, the boys and girls that you have called us to be. May this act of communion, the Lord's Supper, touch us this day, have a real effect in our lives. May we take it with the utmost seriousness, with a real sense of spirituality. May be a part of helping our spiritual growth. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.